Please allow me to add my welcome to those of you who are here today, whether on site or online. As I said last week, Dina and I will be leaving soon. The PNC will continue to serve on your behalf until the right person is found and that person says yes to an invitation to come. In the meantime, you're in good hands and you're a very good church family. Our departure has come several weeks after we thought it would happen. The timing has worked out well for us. We used to land near Birmingham between roles on the family compound there, but the old folks have gone on to their reward. And when we leave here, we will establish a new family compound in South Carolina near our daughter and son-in-law and two of our grandkids. Today, between the services, as has already been said, Dina will be with me, and we will have a chance to say goodbye at that time. Perhaps you've already said farewell, and that's fine too. At my request, I have asked the folks who arrange such things to save the real fireworks for when the new pastor comes. We truly appreciate all the expressions of love that you have shown us through the months and as we prepare to leave. Now we will move on to our sermon time. Let me tell you something that every good church knows. You have a rich heritage. Let me tell you something that not every church believes. You have a rich destiny. Your tomorrows are filled with possibility as you eventually welcome a new pastor. Your new pastor will make a difference in your future, but the biggest difference will not be in the new pastor. The biggest difference will be in the renewed people, the renewed commitment of the people. It is ultimately your renewed spirit that will turn the bud of possibility into the bloom of reality. This in no way is a criticism of previous leaders of this church. Remember the leaders who preceded Joshua. Joshua is the one that we will consider this morning. His words are the ones that we will consider this morning. Remember who preceded Joshua? Moses! You couldn't find a better leader than Moses. He was miraculously rescued from the Nile. He was chosen by the daughter of Pharaoh to be her adopted son. He heard the voice of God from the burning bush on the mountain of God. He was chosen by God to deliver the nation of Israel. He threw down his staff and it became a snake. He picked up the snake and it became a staff again. He raised his staff up and the plagues came down upon Egypt. He raised his staff up and the winds came down to part the waters of the Red Sea. He raised his staff up and the enemies of Israel went down to defeat. You can do a lot with a good staff. In Deuteronomy 34, the last chapter of that book, the Bible says, it was said of Moses, "No prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." The mighty power and awesome deeds. You thought awesome was a new word, didn't you? Well, it was applied to Moses in that version of the scriptures. But Moses was dead and gone. The book of Deuteronomy closes with those words. The book of Joshua, the following book, opens with these words. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun," Moses' aide. Nun refers to not N-O-N-E, but N-U-N. His father was Nun. He was Moses' aide. He said, the Lord said to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." Moses was gone. He wasn't coming back. The most recent long-term pastor, Kevin Pound, is gone. He's not dead. I had lunch with him just a few weeks ago. But he's gone. He's not coming back except for a brief occasional visit every now and then. Renewal was indeed a need when Joshua began to lead. It is always true that new chapters require new commitments. And you will soon enter a new chapter. You will need a new commitment. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5 illustrates this. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, the book of Joshua describes Israel's conquest of the promised land. They experienced great victory. Why? It was not simply because of their material or military preparation, although that was vital. It was not simply because of their skill or strength or strategy, although that was vital too. It was ultimately because of the renewal of the people. They took to heart the words of the Lord to Joshua, consecrate yourselves for the Lord. It was ultimately because of the renewal of the people that they experienced such dramatic victory. Without that renewed commitment, they would have failed. Their overwhelming victory over the enemy began with their unconditional surrender to the Lord. In other words, the key to their future success was their present surrender. That crucial key is the same for you and me as it was for them. The key to victory tomorrow is surrender today. Let's take a brief and closer look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. First, tomorrow's victory begins with today's consecration. Joshua says, consecrate yourselves. To consecrate means to set apart, to dedicate, to devote to a specific purpose, duty, person, or relationship. Consecration occurs when a first responder takes an oath of service. A physician recites their pledge of medical care, or a bride and groom exchange vows to be faithful to one another. All of that is consecration. Consecration occurs when believers renew their commitment to the Lord. Christian consecration requires assessment and sometimes adjustment. It is an examination of one's heart and life, followed by repentance when necessary, and a personal recommitment to the will and ways of God. We must not try to face tomorrow's challenges burdened by yesterday's memories, whether those memories are good or bad. We must have fresh freedom from the grace of God. We must not try to derive tomorrow's energy from yesterday's food, whether those meals were healthy or not. We must have fresh feeding on the Word of God. We must not try to make tomorrow's journey on yesterday's fuel, whether that fuel was rich or poor. We must have a fresh filling of the Spirit of God, fresh freedom, fresh feeding, fresh filling. So, if you are guilty of sin, then confess it and turn from it and forsake it. If you are stumbling with weakness, renew your strength in the Lord. If you are running low on spiritual fuel, it may be time for you for a spiritual fill-up. Consecrate yourselves. That's followed by a second element, the element of participation. Joshua says, consecrate yourselves. Consecration is an individual initiative and a corporate call. Consider the links in a chain, or the bricks of a wall, or the members of on a team. They succeed or fail, rise or fall, win or lose, together. In fact, they succeed because they stick together. The same is true of the faith family. We succeed or fail, rise or fall, win or lose, together. They could not reach their heights, their potential heights, with their holdouts. They could not reach their full potential without their full partnership. Remember the story of Achan at Ai, Joshua chapter 7? Remember the story of Gideon and his band of 300 against Midian, Judges chapter 7? These recount groups who suffered because of individual decisions. Groups suffering because of individual decisions. And the groups, your group, will suffer or will achieve greatness because of individual decisions. The faithfulness of one affects the fate of all. So does a lack of faithfulness. If I choose to be shallow, selfish, sour, or sinful, it affects you and others in negative ways and vice versa. But if I choose to be serious, supportive, sharing, and serving, it affects you and others in positive ways and vice versa. Your purity and activity will make a difference to all the rest of us. MPC needs you to be attending, welcoming, praying, learning, growing, giving, helping, caring, loving. MPC needs you to live out the words on the banners in the lobby. MPC needs you to connect, invite, equip, and serve. MPC needs your participation. Consecration and participation are followed by expectation. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The Lord has always done amazing things among expectant people. In Joshua's day, those amazing things were usually in the form of physical victories. In our day, amazing things are usually in the form of spiritual victories. It is amazing what sort of spiritual progress can occur in a person's life when they submit to the will and word and ways of God. For instance, Saul of Tarsus was prejudiced, racist, and hateful. His hatred led to the oppression of and even the execution of Christians, which we would call Christians. But Saul was saved and became Paul the Apostle. He spent the rest of his life building the church he had once tried to destroy. He was the second most prolific author of the New Testament. Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul. Jesus had dramatically changed his life. Augustine was a playboy of the Middle Ages who became a Christian and then became one of the most influential theologians of Christian history. Jesus had dramatically changed his life. John Newton was a slave trader in the 18th century. He was converted. He eventually wrote Amazing Grace. Jesus had dramatically changed his life. Mel Trotter was a negligent, abusive drunkard who was converted and ended up reaching out to others in inner cities in over 50 rescue missions in the United States. Jesus dramatically changed his life. And you can log on to Mel Trotter Ministries today and see the story of many other lives that were transformed by Christ. C.S. Lewis was an agnostic until his early 30s when he became a convert to Christianity and one of the greatest Christian authors of the 20th century. Jesus dramatically changed his life. Mitsuo Fuchida was a pilot in the Japanese Navy. He led the attack on Pearl Harbor. After the war, while investigating why Christian Americans didn't torture POWs, he became a Christian and he became an evangelist. Jesus dramatically changed his life. Chuck Colson was a ruthless politician who was convicted as a co-conspirator in the Watergate scandal. Colleagues shared the gospel with him. he received Christ. He founded Prison Fellowship and spent the rest of his life speaking for Christ. Jesus had dramatically changed his life. Lee Strobel was an atheist and the legal editor at the Chicago Tribune. When his wife became a Christian, he decided to study the claims of Christ so that he could disprove them. Instead, he became a Christian and a leading spokesman for Christianity in his day. Jesus had dramatically changed his life. Christopher Yuan was a drug dealer, a homosexual, and an atheist. 2 weeks prior to graduation from dental school, he was arrested for dealing drugs, and he was convicted and sent to prison. He found a Bible that someone had thrown away. He eventually became a Christian and a Bible college professor, and now he is a spokesman for Jesus. Christ dramatically changed his life. Louis Zamperini was an Olympic-level champion and a World War II veteran who had been mercilessly tortured as a POW. After the war, his life was a mess with flashbacks, hatred, alcoholism, and a failing family. Then he became a Christian and an outspoken evangelist. There's a book and a movie called Unbroken about his life. Jesus dramatically changed his life. One of the Gideons that is here as a member of this church, Bill Hargrove, gave me an article last week about a woman who was introduced to witchcraft and drugs and immorality quite early. Now she lives a drug-free and moral life. Jesus has dramatically changed her life. I read a book not long ago called Seal of God, which was about a Navy SEAL who was involved with drugs and brawling and illegal activity and drinking, but whose life was dramatically transformed by the Lord and who became a fiery witness for the Lord. Jesus dramatically changed his life. I'm reading a book now called The Questions Christians Hope No One Will Ask by faith advocate Mark Middleberg, in which he tells many stories of how Jesus dramatically changed people's lives. We could go on and on about lives that have been dramatically changed by the Lord. We could go around this room this morning and hear many dramatic stories of changed lives in Christ. So whether your life was wild before you met Christ or mild before you met Christ, you were messed up. The Lord will still do amazing things among us. He will rebirth non-Christians. He will reclaim wandering Christians. He will re-engage uninvolved Christians, re-energize weak Christians, reignite dim Christians, revive dull Christians. The Lord will do again what He did in the first century, according to Acts chapter 15. They were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. In other words, they grew bigger and stronger every day. My hope and prayer for you and your partners in ministry and missions is that whether it be at home or abroad, locally or globally, near or far, that some church or some Christian will get bigger and stronger every day because of your service and sacrifice to the Lord. It will happen as we pursue consecration, participation, and expectation. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Let's bow for prayer. In just a moment, we'll sing and we will have a benediction and then a greeting time for me and Dina. And in the meantime, let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done and how you dramatically change lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.